4. HMS Destroyer, 54. Larrick, Howell Bay, Kingdom of Old Caris. Sir Dominic Stainaire had no way of knowing what Brian Lock Island was thinking at that particular moment, but he knew what Lock Island ought to be thinking. He paused in his pacing, standing by the starboard quarterdeck hammock nettings, and gazed out across the port city of Larrick. It was an interesting city, Larrick. 5 years ago, it had been little more than a sleepy fishing village. The navigable Delphac River had linked it to Ithman's Lake in the Earldom of High Rock, but that had meant little until Edward Houseman broke ground for his foundry complex at Delphac on the lake's northwestern shore. When Merlin Athrawis first arrived in Caris, there'd been nothing there but the tiny town, a hamlet really, with no more than 50 or 60 inhabitants, which had given its name to the river. Today, Delphac was the largest foundry operation in the history of Safehold. The output from Houseman's complex of manufactories alone was greater than that of the iron industry of the entire Harchong Empire. The consequences for Larrick had been significant. The one-time fishing village might well have become the only port in the world which was actually busier than Telesburg. It was smaller, with a smaller total number of ships coming and going, but it never slept, and there was never, ever enough room dockside for all the ships trying to land or take on cargo. It helped some that even seagoing ships could sail up the Delphac if they were careful, although many captains considered it more prudent to let river barges handle that part of the transportation loop. Rockpoint had been tempted to take his ships upriver, but not very strongly. Under other circumstances, he might have been willing to take the chance. Not this time, though. His galleons drew more water than the majority of ships that plied the river, and he couldn't afford, literally could not afford, to ground one of his 12 priceless warships. They were going to be far too desperately needed, far too soon, for him to risk stranding one of them on a sandbar or a rock. Which was why he had to lie at anchor, pacing his quarterdeck, watching through the snarks, as Brian Lock Island began the delicate, dangerous task of buzzing around Cornelis Harper's ears. He knew what Lock Island was supposed to do: distract Harper, annoy him, make him anxious about protecting the unarmed galleons he was escorting to Desnair. It was Lock Island's job to slow Harper down any way he could, and it was Rockpoint's job to sit here, waiting, while Edward Houseman worked frantically to produce the explosive shells which might give the Imperial Carisian Navy a chance to actually stop the enemy. Personally, Rockpoint gave them a slightly better-than-even chance, assuming Houseman was able to produce enough shells, and that he was able to get them to Lock Island's assistance in time. There was, however, a significant difference between inflicting enough damage to cripple Harper's fleet and surviving the experience.
"Even with the shells, we're going to have to come in close," he thought once more. "If we can reach them, then they can reach us, and they'll have one hell of a lot more guns than we will. If the shells surprise them badly enough, if they break, if they aren't willing to come to close action with us, then maybe..." He inhaled deeply. "Either we do it or we don't, but there are times I wish I had the same depth of faith Michael does. It's not that I don't believe in you anymore, God. It's just that looking at what you've allowed to happen here on Safehold so far, I have to wonder what else you're ready to allow. Michael's all right with that, with the acceptance of your will, whatever it is. I try to be the same way, but I can't. Or maybe I can, where I'm concerned at least. It's just that your will can be so hard sometimes. Like what happened to Gwillem, what happened to Samuel Wilson and his circle, Father Timon and Coruscant."
He closed his eyes for a long moment, standing motionless. And then he gave himself a shake, opened his eyes once more, and actually smiled crookedly.
"All right," he thought, "I know. Free will. Michael's explained it to me often enough, and I guess it makes sense. I've done my damnedest to figure out what it is you want me to do, too, and I think I've got it. I hope I do, anyway, and I promise I'll give it my best shot. But please, if you could, keep an eye on us. We need you more now than we've ever needed you before. I may be too busy to tell you that, or to think about you the way I ought to when the balls begin to fly, but don't you forget about us, and especially not about my men. I may not be Michael, but I'm ready to accept whatever it is you have in mind for me. Only look after my men, please, God, whoever you really are, whatever it is you really want of us, of me. Look after my men.